He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
One of the biggest learnings was for our actual apartment complexes, we had third-party property managers, and they really managed and dealt with all of the day-to-day operation. But I think what I realized with the short-term rental space is that how critically important it is to just have a strong operations and customer service team. It's not just short-term rental. It's like truly like a hospitality business, and you have to be excellent every single day in order to build a business. Long-term renting an apartment and like actually like building a hospitality company are just truly two different things. But for me, helping people and interacting with people, I really thrive on that. So for me and my skill set, it really fit.
You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. What's up, everybody? In this episode, I interview Brittany and Derek, who are the founders of Nectar. And in this episode, we discover what Nectar is, what they do, how they got started in the industry, but then also diving into balancing their personal lives as a married couple that's also co-founders with kids. They're doing so much, and entrepreneurship is nothing new to them. But what does it take to really grow a successful company like Nectar, as also they had their own previous real estate portfolio in the short-term rental and long-term rental industry? And I want to give a quick shout out to Andrew McConnell for doing an intro to Derek and Brittany, because not only did I meet Derek through Daniel Cruz, who is the CEO and founder of Wash B&B, but Andrew rekindled that connection and made sure that we had an opportunity to chat and create this episode for you. So I hope you guys enjoy. And now back to the episode. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Journey. If you haven't heard of Journey already, you need to go check them out, JURNY.com, and go to the link in the show notes. Let them know that Will Slicker sent you. Click on the drop-down menu that you heard this from a podcast or from Hospitality FM, our podcast network, and just do a demo of their unified platform. I think if you are about tech and if you're about systems and operations and building out a really seamless structure for your company, then you need a demo with Journey. Get that done and let them know Will sent you. And if you do, you'll get up to 10 free smart locks for your property or properties, depending however many properties you need or have, then you will get those smart locks for your property if you just demo and sign up. So check them out, JURNY.com. And now back to the episode. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Again, I'm your host, Will Slickers. And today I have the lovely Brittany and Derek, who are the co-founders of Nectar, joining me on the show today. So instead of talking for a whole lot in the beginning of the episode, I'm just going to welcome you to the show and really excited to dive in with you guys.
We're excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. And I know, Derek, you and I got to connect through Daniel, actually, who's the CEO and founder of Wash B&B. And then we got reintroduced through Andrew McConnell from Rented, who kind of gave me more of a highlight of what you guys are doing at Nectar. But before I butcher anything, as I normally do, I would love you guys to just jump in and kind of tell us a little bit about your story on how you got into the vacation rental, short-term rental world, leading to the founding of Nectar and what you guys have built.
Our journey together has been a long one. We met like we were freshmen in college in the same dorm, started a bunch of things together, a bunch of like, you know, businesses. I was on Wall Street for a while at Goldman Sachs Trading Bonds, started buying real estate when I was in college. That got pretty big. So we were real estate entrepreneurs. That's what we were doing. You know, that's what we were doing. I was doing large multifamily. Brittany was doing, you know, smaller multifamily, 50 units or less. And we were like putting up, you know, when you're buying real estate, you're always trying to, you know, you're always raising money. You're always getting, you know, you have to always put up a new down payment to do your next deal. And then you don't get paid that much really until you sell. So like, you know, we were living deal to deal like that. We had a pretty big portfolio. And then Brittany was like, we got to get some cash flow going. and that's how we got into short-term rentals.
We already owned like a lot of our own apartment complexes all throughout the Southeast. So I said, in order to get into the business, instead of actually going out and buying additional property, let's just start with what we have. So we took a couple of our apartment complexes and set up the units as short-term rentals. And the amount that we were making within a very short period of time was really eye-opening. We were tripling what we were making in just normally renting out the units.
And this might be like a 50 unit apartment, like a 15, 25 unit apartment. So these were like, there were several units, but we were making as much on just the few short-term rentals or more on just the few short-term rentals we had as we were making the whole complex.
So like that's when we really like figured out that this business had some legs. And so from there, we went out and were more intentional and purchased properties specifically to short-term rent or to short-term rent. And we grew that business to about 125 units. And it was really cool. It was awesome. One mistake I had made, I'd say, is that I didn't hire a big enough team. And so it was a lot of just me fielding like all of the calls and the issues that you get in the middle of the night. But it was like an awesome experience and really just learned a lot about the short-term rental industry in that like period of about 2 years.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years. And then after that, you know, going through all the, you know, ups and downs for that, that brought us to Nectar, which, you know, I guess I can talk a little bit about the Nectar story. But, you know, we said, hey, there's really something here to this short-term rental business. And, you know, why don't we take our expertise in like scaling companies and actually help other, you know, real estate entrepreneurs like ourselves by solving what was the biggest challenge for us, like always, like capital. How do you like get capital? Yeah. Not have to give up all the upside. And so, you know, through our journey, we figured, hey, you know, there should be more, you know, there should be a different way that you can capitalize your business, especially if you have strong cash flow.
For sure. And what was, I guess, from the long-term rent to short-term rent, what was the biggest, I guess, hurdle for you? Was it the furnishing? Was it, obviously, I know you said you didn't hire a big enough team. So outside of that, what was a big learning lesson that you guys took away? You're like, man, this is one really great, because like you said, the money on the you know overall capital that you can get from the short-term rental is a lot more, but it's also a lot of work. So what was a big takeaway that you guys had just with that in general?
Like for me, one of the biggest learnings was like for our actual like apartment complexes, we had like third-party property managers, and they really managed and dealt with like all of the day-to-day operation. But I think what I realized with the short-term rental space is that like how critically important it is to just have like a strong operations and like customer service team. It's not just short-term rental. It's like truly like a hospitality business, and you have to like be excellent every single day in order to build a business. And yeah, so like renting out like long-term renting an apartment and like actually like building a hospitality company are just truly two different things. But like for me, like helping people and like interacting with people, like I really thrive on that. So for like me and like my skill set, like it really fit.
Yeah. For me, it was like my biggest takeaway is that short-term rentals are hard. A lot of nights and weekends working and a lot more turnover. You get more dollars, but you work for them.
Yeah, you definitely work for them. I find that, it's just super fascinating. And to see, you know, how you guys kind of, it's very interesting to me just to see the long-term rental operators and owners really start to be shifting towards this, you know, new wave of real estate and hospitality. Like you said, Brittany, I think that's the most important part. A lot of people that I've seen, you know, they get into the industry thinking, oh, it's going to be great. I'm going to make millions of dollars. It's a real estate portfolio, all this stuff, but it's actually a hospitality business as well. On top of all that, like, so not only do you have to manage an asset, but you have to like manage a guest and a team and expectations and it just keeps going. So it's one definite, big takeaway I think a lot of people have, for you guys. And now I kind of want to, I always love diving into the founder side of stuff. So it's really great. You guys built this business. You know, you've realized that no more operators need to get their cash flow, but you know, being married and having kids and doing all this stuff, being a founder of multiple companies of what you guys have started, you're not a first time. It's not like Nectar's your guys' first go around at being entrepreneurs. What is that like for you two together? What kind of structure have you guys had to build around not only just your business, but your family and your personal life?
It's a great question. And one we don't get a lot, but it's something that we are super intentional about and have for a while. I think we lucked up in that, or I don't know, luck is the word. But like, we have been doing it for a long time. Like, we've lived the entrepreneur lifestyle for a long time. And it's a specific lifestyle that is a grinding lifestyle. You know, you're grinding. You're even in the highs are higher, the lows are lower. Like, you know, and we have built a life that fits our family. Like, our family and our business and our life just fit with each other. So, you know, sometimes we might have, we are with our kids. We travel for work sometimes, and our kids can travel too. We have like Brittany's mom and, you know, my dad, like our families pitches in to make sure that, you know, the holes aren't, you know, things aren't dropped. And we're just, you know, they get it. They're at the office sometimes, you know, we've built a business for our life, and we built a life that, that works with our business, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think for us, like a big, like an important piece, I think, in any business, but especially like when you're like married and you're also trying to run a business together, is communication. And so we've really, I think that's something that we've evolved on over time.
We could all be better communicators. That's for sure. Yes. I've learned that we could all be better at communicating, no matter how good we think we are. Trust me, I struggle with that one. So.
If once you have a partner who you're good at communicating with and just figuring things out with and disagreeing, but still coming to the right to the solution you're going to move forward with, it doesn't have to be right. It has to be the thing y'all are going to do and y'all agree to it. Like, if you're good at that, that's like a cheat code to having a partner. And we are fortunate in that, like, you need that for a life partner and you need that for a business partner. And we just figured it out pretty good, which like allows us to, like, we can go through hard things. You can throw all kinds of stuff at us. Like, a pandemic where we have a short-term rental portfolio and another in a developing apartment complexes, and we have a brand new baby. We had a pandemic baby, and we have to completely restructure our business. And, you know, for us, I wouldn't say it was like no problem, but it was like, yeah, you know, it's hard, and we do hard things. We're good at doing hard things,
and you have to talk,
communicating through it.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, and of course, I think you guys, being multi-founders, or I don't even know that's a word or a term, but being a founder multiple times and being through the experience, I think, you know, it's not like it's something new. You're not I think we're always kind of figuring it out as we go, but at least you guys have been through the times where you need to pivot, you need to change, you need to adapt, you need to kind of be resilient and just kind of go with whatever is thrown your way. I'm curious to know, because I'm completely opposite of you guys. I'm single, no kids, and very, very opposite lifestyles when it comes to the personal life, just based on that, because I have literally no kids, no one here. I'm like a single dude in Denver, so just chilling. But for you guys, what do you like from, I don't know, I find parenting and entrepreneurship to be similar from an outside perspective in a lot of ways, because I feel like there's a lot of coaching going involved. There's a lot of lessons learned that you can, and I think communication in general, like you said earlier, you know, being able to communicate your thought process and your feelings and of course, like I keep saying, the list can go on. But for your kids, like, what do they get to see when it comes to, you know, mom and dad running this, you know, successful multiple businesses and that, like, what do you guys translate from entrepreneurship to parenthood? I guess is the question I'm trying to ask.
What do we translate from entrepreneur to parenthood? I'd say one thing is like both of them is a lifestyle, and you have to put everything, you have to invest into it, and you do your best. You like try to think ahead, but you make mistakes, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, just like get up and play the next play, you know, get up and do the next thing and be open. Like with our team, with our each other and with our kids, we're pretty honest and transparent. It's like, you know, we're like, look, like this is the world, you know, we left the French toast at home. We're halfway to school. We can't go back. Like, I don't know what you want. I'm upset too. We all going to just do get that you're crying, you know, like we got to like, it's 9:00. We got to get, and same thing, you know, you have the same conversations, you know, with the team. It's like, yeah, you know, I know that you want us to be doing X, Y, Z, but this is just what it takes. And at the same time, when people have a goal that they believe is valuable, that they know that you believe is valuable, and you can rally everybody around, like, let's doing this, whether as everybody, you know, we need to get upstairs and get our teeth brushed so we can watch a show before bedtime, or we need to get, you know, to get all the lists of the operators in Colorado because we're going to Denver and we want meetings. Like, you know, we need to raise $10 million, whatever it is, to like just coalesce everybody around a goal and get everybody hyped up about it. It works the same at work and at home, I think.
Yeah. And I think like one thing that we've been intentional about from the beginning is like involving our children, like in our business. Mm-hmm. And so when we were out at, you know, going and touring properties, like during like the acquisition phase, like they, especially when they were young, before they had even started daycare, like they'd be out there like working on construction projects. Like I'd have one on my back holding another and, you know, walking through the property with contractors, like this is right, this is wrong. And even like now with building Nectar, like Derek mentioned earlier, like they come to the office, like they understand, like we talk through, like they've sat in on meetings with us, and you know, they ask a lot of questions. I mean, they're young, but like the amount of information that they can absorb, and like the fact that they like see us out here like working really, really hard every single day, like I think that's just instilled a certain like worth ethic inside of them that we see translate every day, like when they're at school or like when we're talking to their teachers, like their ability to really like follow through and actually get something done. You know, I think them seeing us out here doing it and like us and like involving them every day, I think has, you know, made a big difference.
For sure. It's a lot of leading by example, it sounds like, I think, from that. And Derek, is the French toast thing this morning, is that recent? It sounds like it's very forefront and recent for you today.
It wasn't this morning, but it was true. It was very true. And she was very upset. You know, like,
That's good. I only ask these questions. This is the episode I'll go back to and listen to again when I have a family and be like, oh yeah, I gotta take notes. I gotta take notes. Call Derek and Brittany. Ask them tons of questions. I'm struggling. I don't have any sleep. This is gonna be the episode
For you, the thing is, like the good thing is, like we started off doing a business before kids, then had kids while doing a business, and now we're starting a business, having some experience with business and some experience with kids. So like, we're just building a business that fits the life that we have. And like, that's for any entrepreneur, like have an idea of the life that's going to keep you sane. And that's going to like get you, and then build a business around that. Don't build a, like, you know, it has to work together. You still have to be successful, but you can build a business that fits the life that you want. You really, and it can be a fast growing, like serious business too.
I love it. Well, I know we've talked a lot about previous life and parenting and stuff, but tell us about Nectar. So like, what is the concept behind Nectar? What got you guys into Techstars with this business? Obviously you saw a problem. What is the solution? I want to hear every single detail. And for every audience member that's listening, I'm going to ask a lot of dummy questions because I am not on the real estate side. So please forgive me for all of the super one-on-one questions, but I really do want to know just from the problem that you guys are solving and what Nectar is for, obviously, the audience sake.
But. Awesome. Yeah. And if we like skip over things, let us know. Cause yeah, we want that we're explaining. Nectar is we provide cash flow based financing. So like we allow you to get future net cash flow that you're generating, you know, between 1 and 5 years today, so that you can use that capital to make renovations, to buy, to put up a down payment for an additional property, to do whatever you
need. To grow your team.
Grow your team.
As you scale.
As you, yep, to, you know, to do whatever is required. We're basically a cash flow-based financing for real estate entrepreneurs.
Okay, so for cash flow-based financing, what does it take for, well, actually I have two questions that maybe will go together. Can you be a property management company that is doing it? Do you have to be the owner of the property?
You can be a property management company. We've okay. worked with property management companies. We've worked with arbitragers. We've worked with, you know, people. We worked with owners. We've worked with owners through their property management company. So partnering with the property management company to, you know, make advance to the owners. The idea is we want to be flexible and we want to solve your financing issues. Like that's the whole idea.
Perfect. Okay. And then so with this, what is it? What's the minimum requirement? And kind of walk me through maybe on the financing side. Because if it's cash flow based, obviously there's got to be some kind of proof of revenue, right? There's got to be some revenue generated. But then how, from a financing standpoint, you know, do banks or how does this fund work? Like, I guess, where do you guys get this capital to do that?
Yeah. So one's the how you get the capital. Other is like, you know, minimum requirements. You want to take minimum requirements, I'll take capital.
Sure. So yeah, for minimum requirements, we like to see operators have at least 2 to 3 years of experience in like the rental industry. Additionally, for any properties that you want us to provide an advance for, that property has to have at least 1 year of stabilized cash flow. So like 1 year of stabilized operations.
Yeah. And we, we look at, and so basically we're going to take a bunch of data that we already have. We're going to take your data and we're going to make, say, hey, we think that you can make $100,000 over the next X years, let's say 3 years, just for easy numbers. And, you know, we'll give you $75,000 today. And you just pay us that, or you know, or we'll give you, we think you'll make 130 or 140. We'll give you 100 and we'll pay you 70 for that 100 today. Or something. You know, that's basically how it works. And then you pay us that 100 over the 3 years. The numbers aren't exactly that, but that's the concept. And where are we getting the money from? So we have two sources of capital primarily. We have a debt facility that allows us to just borrow money and give it to you, that we have. And then we have, you know, two funds, one fund that we raised in the first quarter that we've deployed at this point. And another that we're raising now, and the fund we're raising now for, you know, for anybody out there who's like, you know, looking to place their money someplace, we pay out a distribution every quarter, like, you know, of between 3 and 4%, depending on, you know, if you're an early adopter, you can get a 4% every quarter, pay it out no matter what. It's the lockup period. And then after the lockup period, you can request your money back at any time and we just fund it back. But it's, you know, 4% a quarter, cash you can take, you can reinvest, or you can, you know, deposit and do whatever you'd like with.
So this is for someone like, let's say I come in, I go, you know, Brittany, Derek, here is $100,000. I'm going to give you $100,000 to put in this fund to go deploy to operators and owners. And then I would get 4% every quarter back. Or what's the 4%? Is it the 4% just a return on the investment?
Yeah. Every quarter you give us $100. Every quarter we'll give you $4 until you say, okay, I want my $100 back. And then we'll give you $100 back.
Okay.
And this is only for, so every time we launch a fund, we give incentives for people to like move fast. So for the first quarter of the launch, we're allowing this. After the first quarter, it goes back to 3% a quarter.
Yeah.
So we did that for our first fund. We had incentives. We got people in, and then, you know, the stragglers had, you know, had lower returns. but yeah, that's kind of that's how it works. And very, it's backed by the cash flow of, you know, super, you know, awesome real estate entrepreneur.
For sure. And so what it like from a high level view, let's take it to a really, really high level industry focus rather than like an operator or a team or a company focus. For an industry, why is this so important for you guys to build this company, to give cash flow or not cash flow, sorry, to give capital to operators to grow? What are your big goals, and what do you guys see this, you know, how do you see this playing a big role in the industry from the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years?
Yeah.
And I'll let Brittany, if you have, whoever wants to go first.
Go for it, Brittany. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing that we all know as real estate entrepreneurs is that real estate is just a very capital intensive business. In order to grow and scale your company, you need money. And what we are trying to do is to break down the barriers to financing in the short-term rental industry. So really what we are here to do is to provide capital in order to help real estate owners, arbitragers, property managers truly scale their business.
Yeah. And I'd say to piggyback off of that, like we've been in the business and it's just not that it's for the size and for the, you know, the importance of the real estate industry. The capital markets are just not that friendly. Like banks, yeah. they don't even count rental income as income. You know, like how, I don't know, but they don't. Like, you know, so like you have the options are equity. You have LP equity, who's going to take 70, 80% of the upside a lot of times, or you have debt and they're going to take a mortgage on your property. And they're only going to give you 65 to 75% of the capital, maybe a little, you know, maybe more depending on, you know, the size of the business and, you know, other factors. We're here to say, look, you have cash flowing assets. We recognize that cash flow and you should have a financing like option that just works for the actual business you have. So you're not trying to like figure out how to make it fit in a certain way to, you know, fit a bank's box. It's like, no, you have a business. It's generating cash flow. Like, you know, you should be able to use the cash flow that you're generating to get money to do what you need to do to keep things going. And that's what we're set up to be, so that people can, you know, actually be able to build sustainable businesses without having to sell, you know, 70% of the upside of the properties that they're working on.
100%. No, that's really good. And for, I guess, the big, I don't know what to really call it, but I guess for operators that get into this, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to word it properly without sounding a little off, but normally this doesn't happen.
We can workshop the best question.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess what I'm really trying to ask is, you know, for, you know, the industry is growing so much. We're seeing short-term rentals become the more preferred lodging, you know, type, right? We're seeing hotels kind of not go away, but definitely decrease in the overall occupancy and again, just being the preferred lodging choice. With the current housing market and everything right now in the States, are you guys seeing operators still growing in the sense of buying more into their portfolio, or is it really just to help grow teams and brand and, you know, other operations is what they're really like? What, I guess, two questions. With the housing market, are you seeing growth? And then for these operators, what's the number one thing that they're really using for, you know, with this cash? Is it to grow the team? Is it to grow the portfolio? Is it to do X, Y, and Z? Like, what would you say the big things, the applicable, you know, use cases are for this capital?
Yeah. I'd say, like, firstly, with the environment, we're certainly, like, just being more conservative. Like, just like, we're in an environment that there's more uncertainty, and you just got to be just realistic about that. Every year isn't going to be 2021. Like, every year isn't going to be a better year, and that's okay. Like, you can still be prudent, and, you know, there are going to be opportunities. And cash flow is, in an inflationary environment, cash flow is worth even more, because that's, you know, money today is worth more than, like, you know, not getting the cash flow and having a big payday later. Yeah, so like, we are reacting to the market by, you know, looking harder, you know, stress testing before we make advances. So you're going to, we're still open for business and we still think we'll believe in the market. But when you go through the underwriting process, you're going to see, we're going to be stress testing. Like what happens if the market drops 15%? What's going to happen is we're still going to be covered. we're going to make sure of that. In terms of how people are using the money.
We get people in the door every single day, and yes, people are still buying up a lot of properties. So I don't know if there's like one use case that's, I don't know, more popular than another, but yeah, like down payment funding, renovation capital is another big one, is working on like larger construction projects. Hiring, a team or a staff as you scale. Any other use cases that you?
Balance sheet capital. We've had people that, need to have additional liquidity for various deals that they're trying to do.
And I think like one cool thing, another one would be like furnishing. So like once you buy property, like obviously like the furnishings expense can, be really high. So a lot of people, we'll use this for, furnishing capital. But another piece, like in terms of like the renovation, I mean, we've had people that have used our capital to do like a big renovation. But we've also had people use us for just putting a pool outside order to really like increase like the ADRs that they're getting on their properties. So it's really like a wide range, I'd say.
It has been a wide range.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is great because that means that not only are you solving the use case of growing their portfolio, but really enhancing their current portfolio that they currently have on, increasing ADR by doing renovations, adding a pool. I think that's one thing. And I would love your guys' thoughts and opinion on it too, is I think, as property managers, I come from the property management side. I'm not an owner. I don't do like buying of properties and, putting them on a short-term rental program. But, the one thing I notice is that with property managers not being the owners of their properties, they don't really kind of have that hard conversation with their ownership or ownership groups about keeping up on, hey, like, the house is a little outdated. Maybe this needs to be fixed. This needs to be painted, whatever it may be, to maintain that. I think a lot of properties or property managers get the property, they sign it, they put it in the program, they get it booked, and they just let it run, and they don't think about, okay, like what can we do in order to, like, we had a great year. What can we do to make it better on the revenue side? Obviously, it's going to take capital. We can't just let these properties, sit there and kind of be forgotten. So, it's good that go ahead.
I mean, what we're seeing is some really good forward-thinking property managers are coming to us saying, hey, we have properties in our portfolio where our owners, they need to do some enhancements and brush things up. And they want to use us. They can come to their owner and say, hey, you need to do X and Y and Z. And hey, here's a capital. So you don't have to have any money out of your pocket. Sign here. And they bring that value to their owners where they will manage the renovations. They already have a team to manage renovation. And they bring Nectar as a partner to bring in the capital. So we've seen that work really effectively. And we love working with managers. It helps them stand out. Helps them get higher revenue because their ADRs go up after the renovation. And it helps their owners, help them differentiate themselves by really adding value to their owners.
No, for sure. That's definitely, like a really good value add, I think, just for the overall PM side. It's not just to grow another portfolio and to add, to add door count. It's really to sustain the current door count that they have, which is very important, I think, right now, especially, like you said, with the market. If we go a whole nother direction, we got to take care of what we got. So I think it's going to be really important. So that's really cool. For you guys, what's been, let's say in entrepreneurship in general, outside of Nectar, what has been the top lesson that you've had to learn that you still apply to this day, whether it's early on, whether it's recent? What's a big lesson in entrepreneurship that you've had to really learn and just continue to apply throughout your journey together? We'll start with Brittany first.
Oh, that's a good one. I think like the biggest lesson that I learned is that it's okay to fail at things. And we've been fortunate that like none of our failures have been too big for us to overcome. But I think like when you're like an entrepreneur and a business owner, you like are obviously very passionate about what you do and you want to be able to like scale it and really succeed at it. But there are always going to be challenges and obstacles along the way. And it can feel really scary to fail or for something not to work in the way that you intend. But it's less about the failure and more about the response. And so like that is just something that I think that as we've grown as like business partners that we've really focused on is like, okay, this is the situation we're in. Like, how do we get out of it and how do we grow from what happened? So yeah, I don't know, being okay with failure, but and really just like focusing on how can we grow and be better.
I love that. I love that. What about you, Derek?
That it pays to think long term. Like, you know, there's so many reasons. Like everything might push you to be to think about short term. And if I could just get this one thing, then it would be like the thing, then I'll be fine. I'll be able to make sure the next. But like it just pays to just be like, look, you know, and success is not linear. And the career isn't linear. Yeah. And businesses aren't like, you know, revenue doesn't go just like this in one direction. It goes up and down and makes jumps and dives. And for you to like in those times, like, dang, you messed up. Dang it. To just think about, okay, I'm in this game. I'm going to be here in 10 years. So what does 10 years from now, Derek, want today, Derek, to do and to think and to take from this? And like, you know, like all everything, like every situation can be a success over the long enough time frame if you're focused there. If you're like, well, I did this project and, you know, we bought a property in the wrong location and the HOA is going to shut us down and it's coming, which we've dealt with. And it's like, we can fight, we can like, you know, or, and we're going to take an L and we're going to have a conversation with our investors and we're going to have all the egg on our face and we're going to have all this stuff. Okay. Well, you know, what to learn from this, what to take from this, how to be a stronger company, how to be stronger partners, how to be stronger partners to my current and future investors over the scale of the next 10 years based off of what I can do right now today. And when you do that every day, you know, then you look back and it's like, wow, 2 years ago, I'm sure of that I did what I did then now, because I was thinking long and like just long-term thinking just matters so much because later is longer, you know, like you might have big issues today, but that's a short amount of time. You're going to be in the later stage for a longer amount of time. You might as well do the things now that are going to pay off later.
I love that. That's two really good takeaways. Like, I think those are one of my two favorites that we've had on the show. So I give you guys a big round of applause for that. it's just really good. Like, I think, you know, so often, and that's kind of the whole focus of the show is not only to highlight what you guys are doing in the industry, but I think there's so much context behind these lessons with what you guys have gone through. And I think any entrepreneur, whether they're in the industry or not, that listens to your guys' story, that hears these, you know, takeaways, like it could be applied to any industry, to any background, to any type of, you know, I guess, journey that people are on. And I think that's the most important part, right? And I really love getting these lessons because it's like something that we could really use as, I don't know, maybe it's because it's a little different because I'm single and I don't have my business partner and life partner to go like talk to and vent stuff about. But, you know, like at the end of the day, it's such a crazy experience being a creator of like a company that does all this, you know, whatever, you know, type of stuff that you guys do, not you guys, but in general, it's just wild. So I think like these lessons are so important. The context behind it is great. I think we need more founders, you know, sharing that type of information rather than, you know, just put our heads down and grinding a little too hard sometimes. But yeah, no, that's great. I just want to say go ahead, Derek.
So yeah, well, you need that too.
Yeah.
I think by default, founders grind, I think though.
yeah, for sure. For the audience that's listening or watching the live stream, where's the number one place that you want to send people to learn more about you two or about Nectar and what you guys are doing? Is there a direction you want to send anybody?
The best way to learn more about Nectar and what we're up to is our website, which is usenectar.com. So usenectar.com.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I'd say that like right now, we actually are going to Colorado next month, and we'd love to talk to any outstanding real estate entrepreneurs. I think we'll be in the Vail area.
Vail and Beaver Creek. And we're going to be there at the beginning of September.
Beginning of September.
Yeah. So a little over a month away.
But we're there. We're going there. We're trying to find the top 10 real estate entrepreneurs in that area. Like, you know, so if you are that person, or if you know that person, please hit us up. We would love to talk to you. And just, you know, learn about your business, learn about the market, and, you know, figure out if you want some money. That's okay too. but really, we're here to learn about these, you know, learn about the markets we're going to see where we can add value, see where we can, you know, invest appropriately. So I'd say, like, particularly if you're out there in, you know, in Denver and you're one of the top operators, we'd love to hear from you, or anywhere in the world, but that's just where we're going to be going next. And if you love the short-term rental space, you love the risk reward, but you don't want to do the work and you just want to have a check show up every quarter, also hit us up, usenectar.com. Our fund too is open for investors.
Awesome. And when you guys are in Denver and Colorado, you need to swing by. We need to grab a drink or a bite or something. Yes. Because I would love to meet you guys in person. We've talked so many times over the computer that I think it's about damn time that we get to meet up and actually, yeah, perfect. Well, you heard it here. Awesome. Well, you heard it here first, Slick Talkers. Go ahead, check out usenectar.com. Make sure that you connect with Derek and Brittany on everything that they're doing with the business and short-term rentals. And we'll see you guys all again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week.